So we're back in the book of Revelation. We had a break last week where we learned about refocused on who is our source, right? Our source of everything. And it goes back to that table of God. You don't bring anything to the table of God, right? God is the provider. He provides all good things, right? So that was an awesome message last week by Pastor Tom. This week, we're going to be looking at dragons. Ooh, spooky. But truthfully, that's what people do with the book of Revelations, is they make it all spooky and scary. And really, it's victorious, and we should be shouting hallelujah. Just like the cloud of witnesses, the angels of heaven do. I mean, you read that, and God moves in the earth, and it says, heaven break forth with praise and worship. I mean, that's amazing. And here we're down here reading the book of this revelation of Jesus Christ, and we're scared and creating bomb shelters. I mean, so there's something wrong with our interpretation if that's what it leads us to do. But before we jump into Revelation chapter 12, let's take a step back and get a view from the third heaven, right? Because there's three heavens. Paul said that he knew a man, which he was talking about himself, that went to the third heaven. So that means that if there's a third heaven, there's a second heaven and a first heaven, right? The first heaven is where we are right now. You are in the first heaven. The second heaven is the atmosphere around the earth. And the third heaven is where God's throne is. So although you are in the first heaven, your spirit is connected to the third. And the problem is that we have second heaven problems in our life, and we try to fight them from a first heaven perspective. Instead of going to the third heaven and getting our power, our authority, our wisdom from the throne of God. This third heaven perspective, because that's where John is. John is in the third heaven. He's getting God's perspective on what's happening in the earth. And let's get a reminder of God's overall plan. When Jesus walked the shores of Galilee, he preached the gospel of the kingdom. He proclaimed that the kingdom was at hand. The kingdom was at hand. This means that it was available, that it was in reach, that it was near. This was the same kingdom prophesied throughout the Old Testament. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, we are told that it was this kingdom would crush Satan's head. Look what we're told in 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 11. It says, when your days are fulfilled, that you must go to be with your fathers, that I will set up one of your descendants after you, and who will be of your sons. I will establish his kingdom. He shall build for me a house, and I will establish his throne forever. This isn't something new that God came up with. This is what God has been proclaiming from the very start. After his resurrection, Jesus ascended to the Father and sat down on his throne as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Ever since that day, 2,000 years ago, God has been actively subduing the enemies of King Jesus. He has been expanding his kingdom throughout the earth until all of his enemies are made his footstool, to be his footstool. That's what God is doing. God is continually expanding the kingdom of Jesus, and bring in the enemies of his kingdom and his Christ to be this footstool. Today we're going to be looking at what John seen was going to happen in his future. And I hope that you look past what John sees and you see how God might be doing the same thing in our day. This should give you an understanding, a revelation of what is happening in the spiritual realm. And as it happens in the spiritual realm, how it has influence in the natural realm. We'll talk about that more, I guess. So after the kingdom was taken away from the Jews, as we've seen through Revelation chapter 4 through 11, God moves to deal with the Roman Empire, just as it was foretold centuries earlier in Daniel chapter 2. The stone would crush the Roman Empire, and that stone would grow into a mountain, and that mountain would continue to grow until it filled up the entire earth. Hallelujah. That's what God's doing. This overall plan is what we need to carry with us as we continue our journey with John through the halls of heaven as he gets his revelation of Jesus Christ. Through John, we were able to watch through his eyes and see what's happening in heaven as the kingdom of God continues to advance until the kingdoms of the earth become the kingdoms of our Lord. Amen. As we look at chapters 12 through 14, heaven is about to move against the Roman Empire as Daniel prophesied. New judgments and decrees are about to be proclaimed from the throne, which lead to the destruction of Rome in AD 410 and the fall of the Roman Empire in AD 476. So starting off in Revelation chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was with child, and she cried out, being in labor and in pain, and gave birth." Who is this woman? Who is this woman? And who is this child to whom she gave birth? The child is easy. Let's look at Revelation chapter 12, verse 5, and it says, "And she gave birth to a son, a male child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and to his throne." Many times in Revelations, we read a description of Jesus Christ, the one who is to rule the nations with a rod of iron. So we know that this male child that is being birthed is Jesus Christ, who is destined to rule the nations with a rod of iron. This also tells us that her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Jesus did his work on earth relatively in a short amount of time, right? And what happened? In that relatively short amount of time, he was killed, died, rose again, and ascended to the throne of God. So who is this woman that gave birth to Jesus? The Roman Catholic Church has taught that it is Mary, the literal mother of Jesus. Some teach that that it's the Jewish nation, and others teach that it's the church. Here's where I've landed. John is seeing spiritual dynamics here. So we have to think in spiritual terms. So how did Jesus talk about spiritual mothers and fathers? He told the religious leaders, the Jewish religious leaders of his day, that you are of your father, the devil. And you want to do the desires of your father. Jesus was not saying that their father was the devil. He's not saying that the devil literally had relations with their natural mothers. You understand that, don't you? Rather, Jesus was speaking to their thoughts, their motives, and their desires that were birthed and nurtured by the devil. See, you're either born again, or your father is the devil. You're living a delusion. That's why you have to be born again. And when you're born again, you die once. You have two births, one death. If you're not born again, you have one birth, two deaths. Jesus told one of these religious leaders, who was Nicodemus, he said that that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So this spiritual mother that birthed the male child is the mother seen throughout the ages. It started in Eden when God promised Eve that her seed would crush Satan's head. He promised Abraham that his seed, that is Jesus, would become a blessing to all the earth. To David, God promised to one of his descendants would establish a kingdom that would endure forever. Through Moses and the prophets, God proclaimed over and over that a Messiah would come. God spoke to Mary, and the Holy Spirit conceived in her a holy thing, and she did indeed give birth to a child. The Son of God. So who is this mother? Who is the mother of Jesus? It is Eve. It is Abraham. It is Moses. It's David and the prophets. It's the Jewish people. It was Mary. It is the heart of God, the promise received by God's people. It's the Spirit of God mothering his own son so that his son could come into the world. It is all that said by faith, let it be done to me according to your word. It is the word of God, the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ is eternal. He's part of the Godhead. He has always existed. But through the Spirit of God and through the word of God, he was birthed into human form. He was birthed into human form. Because this woman bore the promises of God, throughout the ages, she carried authority and to eventually conquer all. This is represented again by the crown of the stars on her head and the moon that is under her feet. God's word will not return void. And it's the Spirit of the word. Look at the heart of God in verse 17. Look at this. Chapter 12, verse 17. So the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her children who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. God is truly a father. This is God's plan. God is a father. And it's always been in his heart to raise many children. Jesus Christ was the firstborn. But the Spirit of God came upon the church on Pentecost, and now the church carries the Word of God and is the carrier of the gospel. And through the gospel being preached, millions upon millions have been birthed into God's family. But who's this dragon? Who is this dragon? We need to get back. We need to go back to verse 7 to find out who this dragon is. In verse 7, it says, "And there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels waged war, and they were not strong enough. And there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who was called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Well, that's pretty, that tells you right there who the dragon is. The great dragon is the devil. It's Satan, who deceives the whole world. And this whole world, that word world again, is the same word that we talked about last week, that in most places in the Bible, it's translated land. He deceives the whole land. So you could translate it into land or world. So how was Satan working in the world at that time? The Roman Empire was the strongest government in the world. So Satan, in the form of a great red dragon, was able to manipulate and control much of humanity through the Roman government. This is why it's so important that the church infiltrates the spheres of influence in the world. That's why it's so important that the church, Spirit-filled, Holy Ghost-filled, grace and faith believers, are leading in the area of religion. That's why it's so important that Spirit-filled, kingdom-minded people are teaching the world and our communities on the family and representing the family. This is why it's so important that kingdom-minded people, Spirit-filled people, seeking the kingdom first people, get involved in our education system. This is why it's so important that kingdom people build kingdom businesses in this world. See, it's just not about what happens in church. You are the church. You are to be influencing the earth. Satan's an influencer. The church is a greater influencer. I want to know why? Because you have more power behind you. You have more anointing. People like you. Why? Because God makes them like you. I'm serious. You got favor. You got favor on you. The problem is most of you go into a relationship and say, well, no one likes me. I can't make a friend. No one ever gives me a deal. No, people like you. You're a blessing. Any situation you go into, you're a blessing. This is why it's so important that kingdom-minded people, Spirit-filled people, get involved in government and be influencers in government. This is why it's so important that Christians, believers, get involved in media. And you're saying, Chad, how can I get involved in media here in Little Vassar, Michigan? You got an iPhone? You can read the headline just like anybody else and do your news program on your iPhone, put it on social media, get it out throughout the whole world. I'm telling you, you don't have to be in New York or California to do that kind of stuff anymore. Maybe just right in your own community, what's happening. Remember that small thinking? How big's your vessel? What else do we got? Entertainment. We have a young man that we were over at my brother-in-law and sister. So I got to make sure I say brother-in-law because my brother and sister's house doesn't sound good. But well, I just hate saying the in-law thing. It just sounds goofy. But anyways, I don't know if I'm even supposed to talk about this, but I'm going to. We're over there and got a young man that I didn't know how you became a coach in the NBA or a coach in NFL. Do you go to college for it or what? But I guess You actually, there is a way that you become a coach. And this young man from Reese, Michigan, was part of the coaching program at Michigan State's girls basketball team. And his desire was to be on the boys' team, but he got the girls' team. And his heart's desire was to get into a big school with a big program, because that's what he feels that he's called to do, is to be a coach. And so he got in contact with Kentucky, right? No? Alabama. I'm not a sports guy, so he got in contact with Alabama. The coach is a Christian. He leads a kingdom environment in the way he coaches and everything. They have Bible studies, and he got a hold of him, and we prayed at their house over guacamole and chips, and for this young man to have favor and everything, and he got the call, and he got the job. So he's in what type of school is that? Classic Division I boys basketball program, and from Reese, Michigan. And it's exactly he's and his heart, this young man, he's very well spoken. His heart, he says, it's just not about basketball. He goes, I want to be a build people's lives. And he's watched too many of those sports movies, I think. But God puts that in his heart. And he's going to Alabama now. And that's to me, that's wow, that's amazing. We need people, especially when in times like this, that have character and that have God on their side to lead people that have voices in this nation and in this world. We need people to mentor people, to make people understand that they're not victims, but they're children of God. And the stars aren't even their limit. Is that all of them? Religion, the family, business, government, education, media, and entertainment. I believe that those are the majority of the spheres that have influence in our world, and we need to be a part of it. Because if you take a step back and look at what the kingdom of darkness is influencing, they're influencing all of those kingdoms. There's only one more I can think that might be one, is science and the medical field, but that could fall under business and government. I don't know. There's a lot of Christians that were scientists. Well, that's a whole other thing. So, but do you understand this? We don't look at Revelations as just something that happened in the past or is going to happen in the future. Things are happening right now. This what John is seeing in Revelation is what Daniel's seen in his day. It's what the prophets of old seen. It's what's happening in the heavenly realm. It's the spiritual clash of two kingdoms that have ramifications in the natural world. So this great dragon, this great red dragon, who is Satan, was able to manipulate and control much of humanity through the Roman government. Revelation chapter 12 shows us that he did this in many ways. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 4, it says, "And his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child." The first thing that he tried to do to this male child was to kill it as soon as it was born. You know that? How did Satan do that? Satan worked through Herod. Herod was a leader in the Roman government. He worked through Herod to kill baby Jesus, to kill Jesus by murdering all the male children in Bethlehem. Although Satan was unable to kill Jesus when he was a baby, it was the Roman government that ultimately crucified Jesus. Jesus' death, it was both the Jews and the Gentiles that crucified our Lord. In Romans chapter 12, verse 17, it says, so the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her children who keep the commandments of God and hold the testimony of Jesus. So Satan, also as the great red dragon, worked through the Roman government to persecute the church. Since he failed to stop Jesus, the dragon was enraged and turned his anger towards the rest of God's children born by the Spirit of God. The dragon used the Roman government to kill hundreds of thousands of Christians during the Great Persecution in the first and second century. Now understand, this doesn't mean that everything about the Roman Empire was evil. You understand that? A lot of good things came from the Roman Empire. But Satan was able to influence them very effectively to do his bidding. And I think that, well, that could have been the road that we were on here in the United States as a major influence in the earth. The dragon was not the Roman Empire. Understand that. The dragon was not the Roman Empire. You can't say the dragon was the Roman Empire. Why? Because it clearly said that it was Satan and the devil. And it was the spiritual forces behind the Roman government, inspiring ideas and actions in line with Satan's will. So now that we have identified the dragon, we can understand what is said about him in Revelation chapter 12, verse 3. Then another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns on his heads were 7 diadems. I looked it up. Diadems are like a headband made out of jewels, all right, or a crown. So if we use the Bible to interpret the Bible, we know from Daniel chapter 7, verse 24, and Revelation chapter 17, verse 12, that these 7 heads and 10 horns of the dragon represent 7 and 10 ruling authorities in the earth. And if you just do a little bit of study of history, you'll see how amazingly this corresponds with the leadership of the Roman Empire. There were 7 Caesars over the Roman Empire. You had Julius, you had Augustus, you had Tiberius, you had Caligula, you had Claudius, you had Nero, and you had Galba. These 7 Caesars correspond to the 7 heads of the dragon. We also know that the Roman Empire was divided into 10 regions. The 10 regions had 10 leaders governing those regions. This corresponds with the 10 horns of the dragon. It is obvious that the great red dragon is a spiritual power behind the Roman Empire and its influences. So now that all these things have been identified, we can better understand the war that John watched happen in heaven. Verse 7 of 12. And there was a war in heaven, Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. The dragon and his angels waged war, and they were not strong enough, glory to God. And there was no longer a place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. This was a spiritual war in heaven that had natural consequences on earth. Or a better way to say it is, this was a second heaven battle that had consequences in the first heaven. This is not Satan being cast out of heaven before the earth was created. Some people use this scripture and say that this happened before the world was created, that Lucifer, pride entered his heart, he sinned against God, there was a war in heaven, and God judged Lucifer and threw him, and he took a third of the angels with him and was thrown to heaven. You cannot use this scripture for that doctrine. Why? How do I know that? How can I be so certain of it? Because verse 10 tells us, now salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of the brethren has been thrown down. He who accuses them before our God day and night. There were no brethren before the earth was created. You understand that? There were no brethren for the accuser to accuse before the foundations of the earth. So this could not be referring to Satan being cast out of heaven before the world was created, because no brethren existed at that time. This passage was fulfilled in the first century. We know this because John is seeing what's happening after he was taken to heaven and was shown things that must take place in the future. That is in John's future. Before Jesus ascended to heaven, Satan was the god of this world. That is why Satan was able to tempt Jesus with all the kingdoms of the earth in the wilderness. Remember that? He says, all the kingdoms of the world are mine, and all you got to do is yet bow down and worship me, and I can give you all that. I'll give them all to you. Jesus came to be king over all the world. So he could have accepted that. That's why he came. But he refused. He refused Satan's offer. Instead, he conquered Satan and then received authority from the Father over heaven and earth. Jesus told his disciples of Satan's defeat. In John chapter 12, verse 31, it says, now judgment is upon the world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. Jesus resurrected from the dead and conquered death. And Jesus ascended into heaven. Michael and his angels were waging war with the dragon as Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Father. Satan was cast out of heaven. He has no more authority. Jesus is now King of Kings. Jesus is now God Almighty and ruler over this world. After Satan and his angels were cast out, John heard a loud voice in heaven saying, then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now salvation and power in the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of the brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night. Satan can't accuse you anymore. There is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. God ain't going to hear that nonsense no more. That is good news. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even when faced with death. For this reason, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you having great wrath, knowing that his time, he has only a short time. Jesus took his throne. The kingdom of God was established in the earth, and Jesus began to reign. Once Satan was cast out of heaven, it says that he was not sent to hell. Verse 12 says that he came to earth, and he came to earth with great wrath. seeing these things happen in the spiritual realm, we should take a look to see what the corresponding actions were that took place in the natural realm. Right? So during this time, the Roman Empire began an intense persecution of Christians. It was during Emperor Nero's reign in AD 54 and 68 that thousands of Christians were crucified. They sewed them in animal skins, and they would throw them into their colosseums and turn wild dogs on them to eat them. They would tie them to mad bulls and have them dragged to death. They would crucify them. They would dip them in tar and light them on fire. And you think you got it bad because someone says something nasty on Facebook to you about being a Christian. Wow. This type of persecution is not rational. And the reason why it's not rational is because it was demonic. And it was inspired by Satan himself. That great red dragon. Also at this time, the Roman emperors began to demand worship from the people. I don't know if you knew this or not, but earlier emperors refused the worship of the people. But then a radical change took place. Do you know the saying that Jesus is Lord came from Rome telling people that they had to say Caesar was Lord? It was in direct opposition to government that Christians lost their lives because they refused to say that Caesar was Lord, was God. They started erecting temples to the Godhead of with the Godhead of the emperor inside of them. And each emperor started taking on the title Augustus, which meant one to be worshipped. Satan knew that he only had a short time because the rock, Jesus Christ, as prophesied in Daniel, would soon come and completely crush the Roman Empire. And this brings us to the end of Romans chapter 12. As we enter into chapter 13, we're going to get a revelation. We're going to get the revelation of the beast of Revelation. We're going to see the number 666, and we're going to be able to clearly understand what that number means and have full understanding that you'll never have to question again what the number 666 is. So are you ready? Are you ready to unpack this next chapter? Well, come on back next week. And we will. Next week we're going to go into a little greater detail. I'd put next week's message a PG-13 rating on it. So just so your parents know, we're going to go into a little bit greater detail on some of these emperors and the things that they did. So it's not like my marriage one where I had to put an R rating on it. This one's PG-13. So it's up to you how you want to handle that. We got Christians that are afraid of 666, and we've allowed Satan to use that number. Oh, it's terrible. Oh, it's going to get you. My goodness. It is. I mean, I used to be that way. Used to think, those things have no power at all. Pentagrams. People are worried about pentagrams, black cats, bats, all that stuff. You could put a pentagram right here and I'd preach on top of it. It doesn't matter. Jesus is Lord. We're the one that empowers Satan. Amen. Can I have the worship team come up? But I want you to understand something. This is a teaching right now. I haven't been this whole series. I got to stay on track, because there's so many ways that people interpret the Book of Revelations that I just want it to be clear and precise for you guys. But I hope that you, like me, as I was preparing this message and seeing the things that are happening in the heaven and the turmoil that was happening on earth during that same time in history, I hope it's starting to click in your mind that maybe we shouldn't be so worried about what's happening in the natural realm in our day. Maybe God's doing something. Maybe there's a shift coming. Maybe the enemy knows that his time is short. The church needs to be prepared. The church needs to be prepared to fill the void, to lead nations, not create converts, but to make disciples of nations. You know, Jesus called the church to disciple the nations. And we've settled to get someone to be satisfied with just having someone say a prayer. This is why the kingdom's taken so long. Because the body is thinking too small. We're building the kingdom with Jesus. We're his hands and feet in the earth. We're his messengers. We're his ambassadors. You understand that? So when you see, Fritz shared a thing on Realm out of Proverbs about talking about how, what are you meditating on? What are you thinking about? I'm telling you, I believe with all my heart that some of you can be meditating on what's happening in the earth right now, and God takes you up to heaven to get a bird's eye view, to get a third heaven perspective on what's happening. A lot of Christians aren't even tuned in to what the prophets are getting from God and hearing what's happening in the earth. We are so focused on first heaven, earth, that we're not seeking God for revelation on what's actually happening from the third heaven to the second heaven that is creating this turmoil. Whenever I see the enemy erupt with such anger, there's only one reason. He has no patience. He understands that there's a shift coming. There's something that's changing that is going to foil what he spent hundreds of years trying to do in this earth and in this country even. See, you don't realize, if you just go back on the founding of this country, it was founded as a Christian country, a Christian nation. I'm going to say, I said this before and I'm going to say it again, but it's probably a controversy to a lot of people. But when they put in the Constitution, the freedom of religion, they weren't talking about freedom to worship Allah. They weren't talking about the freedom to worship Buddha. They were talking about the freedom to worship Jesus Christ as you feel fit. It's taken many, many years to change the direction of this ship. And we're not 100% turned all the way around yet. And I believe with all my heart, God is doing something to bring that ship back on course. Why? Because I pray, and you should be praying and hope, this should be your hope too, is that the kingdom of God is going to explode throughout the earth. the government officials that have shut off and made other countries angry at the United States. We're getting peace deals that are historic. It's gonna, and that's what I'm talking about. The church has to be prepared to walk through that door. We have to see what God, we got to hear from heaven what God is doing in this time, in this place. And you should not be discouraged. You should not be, John could have been discouraged, but you hear heaven erupting with praise. This is an awesome time to live in. And God's kingdom is growing and growing and growing. We're going to see, get through this, and then we're going to see, our future. We're going to see the future. It gets gooder and gooder and gooder. It just gets so good. And it's just like, I don't know, you try to compare with natural things. It's like that dessert you take a bite of, and with each bite, it just seems to get gooder and gooder and gooder. And then it gets to the last bite, and that's when your wife asks, "Can I have a bite?" We call that last bite love in our house. Do you love me enough to give me the last bite? Once in a while, she gets the last bite. It's kind of like that McDonald's commercial. If you're getting French fries, and your friend says they don't want any French fries, get them the French fries, because you won't have any French fries. But anyways, things are good, and do not be discouraged. What are you meditating on? What are you thinking about? Talk to God. You'll be surprised. He'll talk back to you. And you're gonna think to yourself, is that just me, or is that God? How do I know the difference between me and God? You know, I'll tell you the truth. If it lines up with Scripture or anything, you shouldn't be able to tell the difference between your voice and God's voice. Why? Because you're one spirit with Him. He talks through your spirit. Now, there's also times when He comes audible voice, and John got caught up into heaven, and I mean, that's amazing. But the majority of the time, He speaks to you just in that still small voice of your spirit that is connected to the throne of God. The internet, high-speed internet, has nothing on the spiritual connection. And if you guys don't distract me next week, I'll even reveal to you, you're going to get revealed who the Antichrist is. I'm going to say that we're still streaming, aren't we? Next week, I will unveil the Antichrist. So... that'll be good. It's Whoopi Goldberg. No. No, I'm joking. I should have said something. I can't think of anything. She popped in my head. My goodness. All right. Are you guys ready? What are you guys doing back here? Let's pray. I just hope that you guys encourage you, that you see that things aren't out of control. They're not out of control. And you think, well, they're out of my control. Well, you shouldn't be in control anyways. And just because we know that God's in control doesn't mean, and what I mean by God's in control, I mean that His will eventually happen in the earth. He has a plan. But sometimes we don't line up with His plan. Adam and Eve, was it God's plan for them to eat the forbidden fruit and fall and start this whole chaotic mess? No, it wasn't His plan. But guess what? He still had a plan. Was it God's plan for the children of Israel to go 40 years in the wilderness? No, that wasn't His plan. Was it His plan for the Jews to reject the Messiah They didn't. Did they have to? No, they had free will. But he still had a plan. And God has a plan right now. And you might be part of that plan. You might be part of that plan in your own home, in your schools, in your businesses, on social media. You might be a part of that plan. And we just got to be willing to listen to his voice and have the faith to take the steps necessary that he's asking us to do. And you're thinking, well, what happens if I screw up? What happens if I make a mistake? It's like Pastor Tom, I told Pastor Tom before, if you're going to fail, if you're going to make a mistake, then be able to say, at least I failed and I made a mistake to the glory of God. Right? There's nothing wrong with that. With a true heart, pure motives, for the love of people and the glory of our King. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just love you. Hallelujah. We thank you. We thank you that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. We thank you that you are a God that is in complete control. You are in perfect peace. You are in perfect peace in all the situations of this earth. The Psalms say that you look at the plans of men, you look at the plans of kings, you look at the plans of government and authorities in the earth, and you laugh. You laugh. So we're just going to recline. We're going to be like the beloved John around the Last Supper table. And we're just going to rest our heads on Jesus' chest. And we're going to receive that peace that is already within us, that peace of the Spirit. We have peace. And we speak to the storms of our life. We speak, peace, be still. Father, we just ask that your kingdom would continue to expand at an ever-increasing rate, and that we would see one day as lightning flashes from the east to the west, our soon coming King splitting the sky. What a day that will be. But until that happens, give us the heart to birth more children into the kingdom and to proclaim the good news that Jesus has overcome the world. We just love you. We praise you. We close celebrating you in Jesus' name.